Praise the Lord, what a deal. We're so grateful that all of you are here today.
Good to see everybody. I have several things to say, but before I tell you those things, I have to tell you about a pastor friend of ours who's prophetic, who told us that Pastor Jeff was going to come to our ministry over a year ago. And they had come down here to their ministry meeting, and then we went out to dinner after our church. And he said, "Well, I don't know how you're going to take this. We're sitting in Cracker Barrel." And he said, "The Lord is fixing to send you an Assembly of God pastor from California." And we went, "Oh, okay." And he told Thurman, he said, "Oh, by the way, he's going to give you enough money to pay him too," which was really great. And so then the following, that was Sunday, like Tuesday or Wednesday, Jeff called, and I just happened to answer the phone and, you know, got his number. And then Thurman went out and bought him a trailer to live in, and so the rest is history, as they say. But this pastor, he's told me that there is a plug above this sign, and he said that the Lord, he asked when he was here that time, it's not been quite a year ago, a few months back, he said that he asked the Lord what that plug was, and the Lord told him that plug, when he pulled it in a short time, that the Holy Spirit anointing was going to flow in this church and over the staff, and that everyone in this church would be sozoed. They'd be saved, healed, made whole, preserved, and delivered.
Amen.
Okay?
Praise the Lord.
I know. Well, that was a really great thing. Well, we just saw them, I forget where we were, Kansas.
Yeah,
we were in Kansas, and they drove over to Kansas to see us. And while they're there, we're talking about the plug, and I said, "Well, have you seen anything? Has the Lord shown you anything?" And he said, "Not yet." And I said, "Well, if he shows you, you call me and tell me." And he said, "Okay." So we were leaving Friday. We left about 11, and there was a message for me that Pastor Keith had called from Iowa. And so I didn't get to call him because we went I did try calling and didn't get anything at home. And so then we flew on off. And so then when I got there and to the hotel, I called him. He said, "Well, last night, Thursday night, while I was studying, the Lord showed me a vision. And in the vision, he pulled the plug and he turned on a faucet, and the faucet of the Holy Spirit flowed unto the pulpit and out into the church."
Praise the Lord. We receive that in
Jesus'
name.
Yes, we do receive that. So
everybody
here is saved, healed, made whole, delivered, and preserved.
Amen.
So there you are. There you have it.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Praise the
Lord.
Well,
several things. Saturday is a healing school. But Saturday evening, there's two little posters over there. Saturday evening, they're having, over in Tarrant County Convention Center, they're having Bill Weiss, who was 23 minutes in hell, Don Piper, who was 90 minutes in heaven, and Ian McCormick, who was not saved, and he got to see a glimpse of eternity. The Lord took him to heaven. And they're going to be at 7 o'clock after our healing school. They're over there in Tarrant County, and there's a white sheet over there that if you want to be any kind, they need people to pray, they need ushers, they need all kinds of volunteers. If you want to get involved in that, get that, contact Raphael and take one of those little flyers over there. Then the next day on Sunday, next Sunday at 2 o'clock, we have no music next Sunday, okay? Ian McCormick is coming here to speak, and we were really impressed by his video. And Raphael told me, he said, just when he got to go to heaven and saw Jesus, waves of love just flowed out of Jesus, and he wasn't saved, and he didn't know who Jesus was, and he kept backing up. And he said, this man, he said, waves of love just pour out of him. He's from New Zealand, and he has a church in London. So be sure you come next Sunday, 2 o'clock. Ian McCormick will be here, okay?
Don't be late.
Yeah, if you come late, that's right. I wouldn't be late. All right, and then I have 15 more days. 15 more days, and then I won't talk any more about this. But anyway, December the 17th, we're doing our Christ Haven for Children Christmas benefit. So I have 15 more days to raise money and buy presents. And so far, we've bought gifts. We've raised $36,300, and we've bought gifts for 1,807 children and 128 families. And a lot of these children, of course, are homeless. And then I just got five more last night. My daughter contacted me about a CPS family that the mother was bipolar. And so anyway, we have those five down the sizes. And I still have this week, they're going to give me the teen moms and their children. So I still have them to buy. And then I have some needs still that I haven't bought. for grace. All the yellow highlighted means I've bought it, but some the white means I have not bought it. I haven't bought for the children educational learning toys for the teens. I haven't gotten any like DVD players, and I think we even have some in the church. I'm going to go look into that. And then for the families, I needed blenders, crock pots, toasters, toaster ovens, electric skillets, griddles, George Foreman type skillets, towel sets, waffle makers, kitchen gadgets. Can you imagine just needing a towel set for your Christmas present, your family Christmas present? I think that's pretty amazing. So if you can help in any way in your offering, if you'll just write on your check or notate on the envelope Christmas or children so that you can help with that, we would certainly appreciate it. I still have to raise the money for, I have to buy 65 Six Flags season tickets for Christ Haven, and they're $60 a piece, so that's $3,900 that I need for the Christ Haven Six Flags tickets, because that's all they get to do all year long. They don't get anything, you know, special for birthdays, or except for what we give them, like the putt-putt guy gave me 209 gift passes. So yes, they'll use those kind of things, but unless we give it to them, they don't get to take, you know, 50 plus children out to restaurants and special events. They don't get to do that. So the season passes are really important to them. They really, and the reason they want more than 50 is because children come in and out all the time, and always at, right before Christmas, the week before Christmas, I always get several new children. And I often wonder about that, but I guess at Christmas, sometimes that's when families are having issues or, you know, whatever. And so we know there'll be more children that we don't need to take care of. So if you can help, please help. And for all of those that have helped, and Betty Wagner, who's been, she's been making scarf and hat sets and baby blankets and booties, you know, she's been knitting all that for us. We praise God for that. And Michael and Gracie and all the Smiths, they've gone out and just bought so much stuff for us, and we're so grateful. So thank you to everybody who's been helping, and anybody else that can help, thank you too.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad that you're on the giving end instead of the receiving end?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so grateful, Lord. I mean, I thank God, you know, that I have been so blessed. But, you know, the kingdom that we've been talking about, the kingdom of God, it belongs to every one of us. I just stand in awe at how many years I didn't know that the kingdom belonged to me. I didn't know how to walk in it, and so when I did begin to learn about it, and as I've been teaching the last several Sundays about the kingdom and who we are and what we can do, this last week we went over to Memphis. We left here Friday, and I preached over there in Memphis Friday night and then Saturday, and then we flew home last night, and like Dave said, we left over there just a little before 5 o'clock, and it's almost dark at 5 o'clock, but it was still daylight. We're flying toward the sun. For probably an hour and a half, at least an hour and a half, we had the most beautiful sunset that you've ever seen, because we're flying toward it. So we could see it lots longer than the average person was. And it's so awesome to see that from 14,000 feet, flying along there just as slick as smooth as sitting in this room in that beautiful airplane God give us, you know, and 2 hours and 15 or 20 minutes from Memphis here. And it's landed out here at night. And we got wonderful controllers that lead us right in and everything. It's just so awesome to have all that equipment and to know how to use it, you know, and that's what makes it so wonderful. And to think that God has just, He give us all of this for His glory, you know. And I love flying, and Dave is now learning to love flying pretty well too. He's really a good co-pilot. I just stand in awe of what's available to us in the kingdom, because I think how many years that I had went to a normal church that didn't teach the principles of the kingdom. You know, I mean, the church I went to, everybody virtually was saved, and that's the only way they knew Jesus as their Savior, because that's what you heard preached virtually every Sunday. You heard a salvation message that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose again on the third day, and that's good. You got to have that. You got to know that, and you have to receive that by faith, and when you do, well, that's the beginning, but that is just the beginning. There's a lot available. Well, you know, yesterday or Saturday, Friday night when we got there, I think it was an Assembly of God church we were in, wasn't it? I think it was. Anyway, Full Gospel something, maybe Assembly of God or Full Gospel Church of some kind. We were coming in, a great big tall guy come up and put his arm around me and said, "Pastor, I want to tell you how much I love you." He said, "You've changed my life forever." I said, "Well, I appreciate that, sir." I said, "What did God do for you?" He said, I've had a back problem for years, for years. And he said, I was over in Tennessee at a truck stop. He said, I'm a truck driver. I was over at a truck stop, and he says, I met this little guy, and I was talking to him, and he said, I said something, well, praise the Lord. And the guy says, I perceive you are a man of God. And he said, well, I try my best to be a man of God. He said, I walk in obedience to God's word. And he said, I do what I can. And the young man said, well, I've got a CD I want you to listen to. He said, have you ever heard a guy named Thurman Scrivener? And he says, no, never heard of him. He said, well, good. I want to give you a CD or two, and I want you to listen to them. So he said, I got in my truck and drove off and put one of those CDs in. And he said, I heard things that I had never heard. He said, I'd never heard that before I could be healed, I needed to repent of sin. But he said, I heard that. And so I thought, wow. So he said, I begin to really check you out. He said, I'm listening to you, and I've got my Bible, and I'm checking, and what you're saying is what's in my Bible. And I thought, how come I never knew this? And so he said, Lord, this man says if I repent of sin, I can pray for myself, and I can be healed. So he said, Lord, my back's been killing me for years. So now, Lord, I recognize from some of the things he said, some of the things he even said I'm doing, and some of the things he didn't say, I know that sin that I shouldn't be doing, but I do anyway. So he said, Lord, I repent for all those things, and I promise you that I will stop sinning. Now, I am asking you, according to, and he quoted some scripture, I don't know which one, I don't remember, but he said, I quoted some scripture and said, now, Lord, I claim my healing in the name of Jesus, and I want to thank you and praise you, it's done in Jesus' name. He said, immediately my back pain got a little less. But he said, all through the day, it got better and better and better. He said, by the time I got home that night, I had no back problem at all. He said, my back was feeling so good. And he said, I walked into the house and said, normally, when I went into the house, I walked up to the bed like this. I raised up a knee and put it on the side of the bed. And then I raised up the other knee and put it on the side of the bed. And then I let myself down gently on the bed. And then when I got flat, then I tried to roll over. He said, that's the way I had to get in bed. He said, it was very painful. But he said, I walked in, my wife's laying there in bed, and I said, honey, watch this. And he said, I just done a deal like, just whop, plow. And she said, what in the world has happened to you? He said, I met a guy that told me how to get healed. And he said, I believe God repented of my sin and said, look at this. And he said, I have no back pain whatsoever. He was so happy. He was just like Michael. That's basically what happened to Michael. You know, him and Gracie, when they come here, he had back troubles, and he didn't know how to get healed either. But it wasn't just a few Sundays. He got a hold of it, and he was working on his house and in a bathroom or something, and by noon or whatever, he's done. He said, Gracie, my back's killing me. And he went outside, and she said, well, you know, Pastor Thurman said in Matthew 18:19, if just two of us on earth agree. And he said, he did. And she said, well, why don't we agree? Thank God for a good wife. And so y'all prayed, and that was the end of your back trouble, wasn't it? Instantly. Yeah, his was instantly done. The kingdom of God, it's a faith kingdom, and it works on a completely different set of rules than the faith, the world we live in. And you know, you and I live in the world every day, so we're really accustomed to the ways of the world. You know, we've been taught wrong. I mean, you know, we watch television, most people do. You know, as we watch TV, we see these little commercials on television that if you got back pain, we got the best pill there is for it. You know, if you have colds or flus or whatever, you know, if you got a stopped up head, we got the 24-hour pill, you know, that make you feel good for 24. Hey, y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, you hear that stuff, and from the time you're a little child, you're trained up like that. So by hearing those things from a little child up watching television, you know, you're trained wrong. And so if you get a headache, you go in and say, Mom, I've got this terrible headache. And she said, oh, I just found some really good pills on TV, and I just bought some of them today. Let me give you a couple of them, and it'll help your headache. You know, I mean, that's what we do, isn't it? I mean, you know, it's like we don't ever stand on the promises of God. You know, we go by the world. And so it's something to think that here we are, the church, being trained by the world as the world thinks, instead of the promises of God. And when we stand on the promises of God, we have to stand on them with no doubt. In fact, of course, I've had this revelation now that I'm going to talk to you about in a little while, about faith and how it works. For many years, I've had this, I've walked in this, I've done this, and I've seen God do awesome things by faith. But one of the men that came up to me to give me a testimony up there when we were in Memphis, he said, I came down with, I forget what kind of sicknesses it was, but something terrible. And so he goes to the doctor, naturally. I mean, after all, you talk to the average Christian, and the average Christian will tell you, well, God uses doctors to heal us. But anyway, this man, he said, that's the first thing I did. He said, whenever I started feeling rotten, he said, I went to a doctor, and the doctor told me what was wrong with me, and it was terrible what it was. And I don't remember all these names, but he said he prescribed certain medications that I had to take. And so he said, I began to take those just like he told me. And he said, I got worse, and I got worse. And so I went back to the doctor, and he kept telling me, well, I don't understand why this is like this. But he said, you take this medication, and we'll try this one. He said, nothing seemed to work. So he said, finally, as a Christian, I prayed. Yeah. Imagine that. I mean, all this time he's been sick and been going to the doctor, and he has not even confronted the king, the boss, our God, our Lord, our Savior, our healer, our deliverer, our provider. He's doing it man's way. But that, I mean, I laugh at that, but I was just like that for years. You know, I lived right there. You know, I had the same problem, and I didn't have a clue that you could pray and get God to do something. I never saw that in the church I was in. We never saw that. We never even heard that talked about. And so he said, I'm praying, Lord, what is wrong with me? You know, Lord, they're giving me this medicine. It ain't working. And he said, the Lord, Thurman, he spoke to me. He said, if you will throw away the medicine and trust me and repent of your sins, I will heal you. Who's talking? Does anybody have a clue who's talking? It's the Lord. He was praying and asking, but you notice the Lord didn't do anything until he prayed and asked him. And so after he prayed and asked him, so he said, I knew I heard the Lord say that. So I said, okay, Lord, I repent of those sins. I forget now what it was. He had unforgiveness toward a brother or something. And he said, Lord, I forgive him. I will walk in love with him. I guarantee I will walk in love. I will obey you. And he said, now, Lord, I will not go back to a doctor under no conditions. And so I just want to thank you. Now, he had the privilege to hear God tell him this. But see, this is already in the Word. Isn't that amazing? How it's in the Word, but we don't spend enough time with God to know it's in the Word, so we don't have this revelation. And so when we pray, God, he loves us so much. He wants to do good things for us. So when we start praying, you know, he tells us when we ask him, just like he said in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer you. Imagine that, you know, that God said, call unto me and I will answer you. You know, but some people won't even call unto him. You know, they will go to a doctor and everything, and they won't even call unto the Lord. And it's so amazing that by not walking in faith, you cannot receive from the Lord except by faith. This kingdom that we live in is a faith kingdom. Now, this man, of course, once he repented of his sins, once he asked the Lord, he said, I thanked him for my healing, and I never did go back to a doctor. He said, that's been years ago, and I never did go back to a doctor. And so he said, the doctor told me that what I had was going to be terminal in just a few months if something didn't happen. And he said, I never did go back. I just said, well, okay, God said I'm healed. So he said, I might as well just go ahead and work, do what I want to do. Everything's okay. And he said, he healed me and I didn't even know it. You know, said all my symptoms went away. And he said, I've been healed ever since. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. We serve a healing God. Amen. You know, he's a healing God. But let me show you something that you have to learn to walk in this wonderful faith. First of all, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and see what faith really is. Let's see what the Word of God says that faith is. It says in, this one here, okay, that's the NLT. Oh, King James, that's good. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We hope for our healing, and the evidence of things not seen. And when you ask God for whatever, I'll just tell you that, when I began to pray, since I just told you about we went to Memphis and back in our own airplane, When I first decided I wanted that airplane, an airplane, I began to pray and ask God for an airplane. Lord, I thank you for my airplane. I don't know what you want me to have, but I need a nice one. You know, I'd like to have a twin engine. You know, I'd like to have a pressurized one. You know, God wants you to tell him exactly what you want, you know? I need something I can go in instrument weather when it's bad or raining or whatever. I need something that's powerful enough to carry several people. Our airplane will carry seven. And I said, I need an airplane that's big enough to carry several people. It'll carry some luggage and stuff. So, and a lot of fuel where I can go a long ways, you know, without stopping. And so, Lord, I thank you for my beautiful airplane. Now, I'm asking him, hoping for a beautiful airplane. By faith, I'm believing that he is going to give me what I'm hoping for, an airplane. And so for a while, it didn't happen overnight, but a while as we went along, I started looking for airplanes, and then I found one in Colorado. It was advertised, and I had the man fly it down here, and we looked at it and everything, and we flew it. In fact, I thought, man, this is exactly what I want. I went out and flew this thing. Dave and I sat in the cockpit with that guy for 5 or 6 hours. He was an instructor on 421s, and he owned this thing. We went out. He gave us 5 hours of cockpit time, and then I went out and flew it around the area a little bit and come back and landed, and then I made another takeoff and another landing, and I said, well, how did I do? He said, you're a natural for this airplane. You were made for this airplane. And I said, well, praise God, I received that in the name of Jesus. And so then I said, okay, Lord, this airplane, if you don't know, 421, they cost a whole lot of money. You know, I mean, a whole lot of money. You could buy two or three Lexuses for what, the finest Lexuses for what this airplane costs. You know, they're not cheap, by no means. And so I just said, Lord, now I need the money for this airplane. And so I thank you for the money for this airplane. And so a little while later, about 1 o'clock in the morning, Cheryl's phone rang. And there was a person on the other end and said, Cheryl, I hate to call you so late at night, but I have a question that I have to have answered tonight. And Cheryl said, that's okay, Thurman. I just went to bed, so we hadn't gone to sleep yet. We just laying here talking. So she said, sure, what can we help you with? And they told us what the problem was. So we discussed it, and we give them their answer. And after we did, this person says, is there anything your ministry needs? And Cheryl said, well, Thurman, thanks. We need an airplane. And he's looking at one, so if you would like to help us with it. And so the person said, well, what does the airplane cost? And so Cheryl told them what the airplane costs. She said, if you would like to help us. In other words, if I was going to buy a $150,000 airplane and somebody said they were going to help me with it, you know, I might expect them to send me $1,000 or $5,000. Maybe they're really rich, you know, they send me $5,000. But this lady said, okay, thank you. And so the next day fit. The next day, now this is already 1:30 in the morning, but the next day, FedEx pulled in out there with an envelope, and when we opened it, it was a check to pay cash for that airplane. Do you reckon my Heavenly Father planned for me to have a nice airplane? I mean, by faith, I got it. You see what I mean? Now, see, but he didn't just give us healing. Anything we can believe him for, by faith, we can have. And so that's the thing about this kingdom, about faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, I mean, I was believing for the airplane. I had even now seen the airplane, you know, but I didn't know it was going to be mine yet. But I'm believing by faith that it is my God's will to give me this thing so we can fly to all these little cities. And you know how wonderful it is yesterday to be able to, I filed an IFR flight plan for 3 o'clock since we started teaching at 10. I thought, well, we'll probably speak till 12, you know, a couple of hours, and then we'll pray for people so we can easily be back at the airport by 2:30 or something like that. Won't be a problem. But I taught till 1:30 instead of noon. And we answered questions, and then we prayed for people and prayed for people and prayed for people, and finally it was 4:30 when we got to the airport. I told Dave, I said, I sure am glad they were late coming to pick us up the first day when we got there, because while we were waiting, I went ahead and fueled the airplane. Now it's ready to go. All we had to do, just get in it and take off. You know, and I didn't have to do anything. Of course, going over there, I had my blue jeans on, and coming back, I had my slacks and sports shirt and everything, and I didn't really want to get dirty fueling. But anyway, it turns out wonderful. If you have your own airplane, you can go right up to any time. And if you're late, you're not going to miss the flight. You know? If you're the pilot, you know, you don't have to worry about being late getting there to check your baggage. When they say, and I've done that before, well, I get there at American and I'm 28 minutes before takeoff, and they say, I'm sorry, sir, but you can't check your bag. We only allow 30 minutes. So, I mean, 28 minutes, give me a break. No, you got to do something with your bag. So I just thought, okay, so if I can fly my own airplane, I don't have to put up with that nonsense. You know, when I get there, I get there. When I go, I go. When I get home, I get home. It makes no difference. And really, I can assure you, by flying our own airplane, although we can only fly about half the speed of a jet, we got home quicker than we could have if we'd have flown a jet. One night, Dave and I took Cheryl out to Lubbock and the twin, and the lady that we were going to pick up there that night was going to come back. We were going to help her get healed. She would not fly in a small airplane. So she said, we're going to fly commercial. So Dave and I took Cheryl and her by the terminal for the aviation terminal there, and they had to go in and buy a ticket and get on a Southwest or whatever it was, and then they flew to Love Field or wherever it was. Then they had to get a cab and from there to here. And Dave and I went, after we dropped him off, we went over to the terminal where our airplane was parked. We got in our airplane, we took off, we flew over here, we landed out at Northwest, and we got home, and here we was here an hour before Cheryl got here. And she went commercial, but Dave and I was flying our own plane. So you see how it makes a difference. But that lady, she just said, I will not fly in a small airplane. I'm not going to fly. I said, but we got a nice twin. She said, don't make any difference. It's small. I ain't going to fly in it. And it was raining that night, too. I will have to say that was another thing, too. But Dave and I had no problems. Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, Cheryl said that lady was very well off anyway, and so she bought first-class tickets for them. And then, of course, as soon as they got there, she rented a taxi, a town car, to drive them from Love Field to here. So, I mean, even with all of that luxury, Dave and I beat them. We got here first. So, see, isn't it wonderful when you walk by faith? You know, you can really do some wonderful things by faith. But now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And then let's go to Hebrews 11:6, and let's see what the Lord says about this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now then, we say we believe there's a God. You know, now, but we really don't believe that. I mean, you can tell when people believe and when they don't believe. And let me just be really, really blunt with you today, and I hope it doesn't offend any of you. And people that listen to this teaching, I hope it doesn't offend them. But I'm teaching you the truth about the kingdom of God and how it works. When you come to me, let's say that I could manifest myself in the form of Jesus Christ in all of his glory. I mean, to say I could, I mean, I know I can't, but let's say that if you come to me, I am Jesus, the real King of Kings. When you look up here, you see me, my white hair and my brass-like feet and my white robe with my gold all over and fire coming out of my eyes, and I'm the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is that the way he's described?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly the way he's described in the book of Revelation. If you were to see me like that, if I come up and I said, if you'll just come up here and let me touch you, I guarantee I will heal you. Would you say, I believe that? Would you say that?
Yeah, yeah.
Sure you would. If you wouldn't, there's something really wrong with you. But Jesus told me that as a man, that if you repent of your sins and I pray for you, he guarantees to heal you. So this is what I'm trying to say. If I could manifest as Jesus Christ in all of his glory, like the book of Revelation, in fact, when John saw him, John fell on his face before the king. And I can guarantee you that would be you and me too. We would fall on our face before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is such an awesome God. But here he is in you and me now, to each one of us that have received him as our Lord. Not only just as our Savior, because lots of people never get beyond receiving Jesus as their Savior. They never make him Lord. Now, you can tell those that have really made Jesus Lord because they talk about him. I mean, that's right. You know, I mean, boy, you know, we tell people about our Lord, right? We've had a meeting with our Lord, and we're not hesitant to tell others about our Lord and what he will do. But those that never go to church or just go to church rarely, only when they feel good, you know, that never pray, that every time they get a little sickness or anything, that they go to the medicine cabinet. Now, I've done that. You know, I was a Baptist deacon, you know, but I've done all these things, I'm telling you. So I'm not trying to tell you to condemn you because I've lived everything I'm telling you. I've been there for many years of my life. I mean, every time something happened to me, when I would get down in my back, Mike, you think I would get my wife to pray over me and believe I was going to be healed? No, I'd ever drive me to the doctor's office. I mean, good grief. I mean, I didn't know what faith was. I didn't know how to make it work. I didn't know I could stand on the promises of God. I just didn't know those things. But I was a man that had made Jesus my Savior. He really was not my Lord. And he sure wasn't my healer. I had not got a hold of that. But like I say, if I could, I know I can't do this, but if I could have Jesus right now, and we know he's standing right here, don't we? Because he said, where two or three of you are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. So I'm going to believe with all my heart, the King is standing right here. I mean, when I put my arm around him right now, I believe he's right there. Now then, I just can't see him. He's invisible. But he's here and he's real. And when you get to that point where you realize that he's really your Lord, he's really your Savior, you recognize him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so with him standing right there, I can tell you what his word says, that without faith it's impossible to please him. So if I can't walk in faith, he's not going to be happy, is he? Because where did I get this? From his word. That's exactly right, Jackie. I got it right out of God's word. God clearly said, but without faith it is impossible to please me, he says. For he or she that cometh to me must believe that I am, and that I am a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. So if you had a sickness, and that's why so many people come to this church, because they do have sicknesses or problems, and they come up here, and when I pray for them in faith, if I can get them to see the glorious Christ, they'll say, wow, I'm healed. He made me a promise. He said, if I repent, Thurman's his representative. Of course, you're his representative too. You know, I mean, any one of you can do what I do. It's not something unique that God has given me. I mean, I look at Gracie and Mike over here and think that the day that the two of them prayed for Mike's back, whenever he was just shut down, and he says, God instantly healed his back. I wasn't even there. It was just him and his wife, right? Amen. You see, I mean, when you're walking in the kingdom of faith, when you believe him, you get healed. You have to believe. And of course, this is what's so difficult. Like Weston's problem here with terminal cancer, you know, whenever you come down with terminal cancer and you're given the diagnosis by the finest doctors, the doctors that know everything, that I'm sorry, sir, but you have stage 4 lymphoma just before death. You need chemo and radiation 1 immediately or you're going to die. And he listens to what we have to say here, and I told him, just like I tell everybody, if you will believe God and you will repent of sin. Now, this is the issue that so many people miss. We do not realize that when we sin, we go against God's word. Because God tells us as his children, we are to be sinless. I mean, that's the goal. I mean, it's all over the book. And most of us don't even think like that. But God clearly says that we as Christians are not supposed to sin at all. We are to walk holy before him. And if you have never heard that, you know, you don't even try. You just go through the day and, you know, and I mean, I see guys that, you know, go to church on Sunday and then on Monday morning, you know, they're lying to their buddies or, you know, they're cheating on their wife next week while they're out of town and all those kind of things. And they don't understand, you know, that if they ever did pray, God ain't going to answer their prayer because they're in complete disobedience to His word. And so anyway, you have to do exactly what God says. You know, if you want to see God do wonderful things, you've got to do what God says. And so, just like He says there, "But without faith, it is impossible to please me. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So when you diligently seek the Lord, get into his word, begin to meditate on the word, and do what the word says. Now, we have these issues, like Mike and Gracie, since I've got them right here. He heard what he said when they agreed in prayer. How long did it take you to get healed, Mike? It was a few seconds. And his back problem, which he had had a long time when him and his lovely bride prayed over his back. And how long y'all been married? 20 years. Okay, so 20 years, and y'all finally got to see a miracle. Isn't that awesome? But you've seen several since then, though, haven't you? See, that when they learn how the principles of the kingdom work, now they've learned how to pray, and you get to see regular things happen. It's changed their life all the way around. But now Weston, when he had this terminal cancer, he had a problem with, the main problem was the unforgiveness toward his dad. And here's the thing, unforgiveness will bring a tormenting spirit into our bodies. Well, that's what Weston had picked up by having unforgiveness. Now, in his own heart, he had no problem knowing that he had legal right to have a grudge against his father, because his father was not a good guy. I mean, he was mean to his mother. He was mean to him. So, I mean, anybody has a dad that beats up on your mother and beats up on you, you surely, God would not hold you accountable for not holding a grudge against him. But he does. He does. And God tells you and me, on his kingdom, you and me as children of the kingdom, we must forgive everybody from our heart. Everybody. And God said in his word, if you do not forgive everybody from your heart, I, the Father, will send a tormenting spirit to torment you. And when Christians say, you know, it's impossible for a Christian to have a demon, they have not spent much time studying God's word. Because when you study God's word, you find out that if you get into any kind of sin, unforgiveness or whatever, that God himself will send a demonic spirit to torment you. And he will make you sick. And that's exactly what Weston had. He had tormenting spirits in his body that come in the form of cancer that was killing his body. And when he began to repent, and of course when the doctors, they only know what they see, and they've been trained by the world. They do not know the spiritual principles and how the kingdom of God works. They do not know. They do not understand that. I mean, very few, even Christian doctors, understand this principle. They just know to cut on you or whatever, or give you chemo or radiation and hope for the best. And most of their patients die with terminal cancer. When you get there with stage 4, and most people die. Y'all know that? Most of them die, and some of them, that's not too bad. They can help them a little, and then, of course, if they don't understand the principle of the kingdom, that holding grudges against people will continue to let that tormenting spirit be there, because the Word of God says, as long as the curse remains, the curse remains. So until you get rid of the sin, you cannot get healed. And so they may help you a little bit with chemo or radiation, but if you didn't get rid of the sin, the curse is still there. The demons have still legal right to you, so it won't be long till they'll come back in and they will destroy you again. I've seen many people that had chemo for 10 or 20 treatments, whatever. And of course, the thing about chemo, most people don't have a clue what it costs to have a chemo treatment, but somewhere between $25,000 and $30,000 per treatment. So you go in and get a chemo treatment, you spend $25,000, and a doctor says you need 10 of these, you're talking $250,000. That's what your insurance is going to have to pay. And it was all because of your sin that you're going to have to pay this, or that they're going to have to pay it. And so it makes insurance extremely high for everybody. And so when you do repent, and if I guarantee, just like I told Weston, I told his friend Tommy Holiday that had the same thing, and his was stage 4, I told both of them, if you go down there and let them give you chemo treatments, you will more than likely die. Yep. More than likely, because you're not trusting God. You're trusting men. And so his friend, Tommy Holliday, I told Tommy the same thing. I told him, I said, if you will just repent of your sins and then trust God, stand on the kingdom of God and his promises of God, Tommy Holliday was instantly healed. I mean, that day I prayed for him, he was instantly healed. But Weston was not instantly healed. Weston began to get better as he began to take the Word of God and begin to feed it into his mind and his heart and begin to listen to it night and day and begin to really get in. He was diligently seeking the Lord. I mean, he was doing it with diligence. As he was doing that, he was learning, and as he was learning, the sicknesses begins to go away. And I don't remember exactly, I think it was about 6 months into this when he went back down there and they checked him and they said, you know, this is, whatever you're doing is working. The tumors are going away. You know, and then a year or so later, whatever it was, when he goes back that last time, that's when the doctor told him, Weston, whatever you've done, you need to bottle it and patent it because it'll sell. Well, what was it? The Word of God. I mean, now then, of course, it took a couple of years for him to get through all that and get the final deal. But after a couple of years, the doctors told him, there's not a sign of cancer in your body. Don't come back. Don't even come back. You're healed. Well, that's been 5 years ago, hadn't it, Weston, that they told you that? 5 or 6 years ago, 7 years ago, and he's totally healed. But now let me tell you, he did not take chemo. He did not take radiation. He did not have any surgery. When the doctors told him, you're going to die shortly, but he did exactly what God told him, and he trusted God 100%, and by trusting God 100%, what did God do with his sickness? He healed him. He took it away. That's the secret of living in faith in the kingdom. Now, I don't understand why, in most cases, I don't understand why that it takes 6 months or a year. I remember the very first man that I ever dealt with terminal stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer in every organ of his body. It was a man by the name of Ed, and it was in 1986. And the Lord told me, it's amazing, when I went up to his door in his hospital room that day, the Lord spoke to me when I asked his wife, I said, how's Ed? And she said, Thurman, he's no good. They opened him up today and looked inside of him and said he has stage 4 lymphoma terminal cancer in every organ of his body. There is no hope. He has a few weeks to live and it's over. Well, now see, God was put me in the process of training me, and I'm so grateful for this. Because the Lord spoke to me audibly. She's standing right there, and she didn't hear a thing. And I heard the Lord say, son, tell Ed to call the men of the church to pray over him, and I will heal him. I mean, I'm a Southern Baptist. I ain't never seen a healing in my life, Weston. I mean, isn't that something? But God was training me. I mean, you know, he had to call Paul. You remember when he was going to put Paul into the faith world? I mean, Paul's out killing Christians. He's not teaching them about Christ. He's killing them. And the Lord blinds him, and he falls off of his horse on the ground, and that light's so blinding. And the Lord says, Paul, what are you, Saul, what are you doing? And he said, Lord, who are you? He's got an idea that what just happened is somebody, not just a human being out there. So he's saying, Lord, what are you doing? And he tells him, go into Damascus, Damascus. And he said, I'm going to use you mightily. Said, I'm going to have a man come out. He's going to lay hands on you. I'm going to fill you with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to open your eyes. And then you'll know that I am God. And I'm going to use you mightily for my kingdom. And is that what happened? Yeah. Yes, and then Paul walked in faith. Oh, my goodness gracious, Paul walked in faith after that. I mean, but he saw all these miracles. And I will have to say that after you've had the privilege of hearing the Lord's voice, especially like Paul did, and I have. I've had that privilege so many times. I can't see Jesus standing here right here, but that don't make any difference to me. I know he's there. I know he's there. I've heard his voice too many times. In fact, I come back over here to Gracie and Mike. The day you two prayed, guess where he was? He was right there, wasn't he, Mike? If he instantly heals your back right there, he was right there with you too, right? But you couldn't see him either, right? You couldn't see him either. He's invisible. But he's there. And that's the thing that we've got to realize. The King, with every one of us, he's there. And he honors faith. That's the only thing he honors. In fact, the other day when Cheryl and I was going to Norway for the fifth time, as some of you have heard me tell, she, of course, she's the lady of the house. She's getting everything together, all of our clothes and everything, and she's, you know, a little stressed out, unfortunately. You know, she's not really casting all of her care on the Lord. Do we all do that at times? Oh, yes, we do. We do. All of us do that. But she was not casting her care on the Lord. She's getting everything together. She's making sure I got everything. She's asking me three times, have you got your outlines? You got your Bible? You got all? Yes, honey, I got it. I got it. Are you sure you got it? See, she's all stressed out. So before we leave here, her bowels are all messed up, you know, and she has to go to the bathroom, you know. And so she said, I hope I make it to DFW Airport before I have to go again. And so she barely did. And by the time we get to the gate and to the top of Klein, she's been four more times to the bathroom. And every time she walks out in front of me, she said, reached over and pats me on the shoulder and said, honey, you got to pray for me. Well, that last time she went to the bathroom, while she's gone, I said, Lord, please. Lord, my wife, I do not want to spend the next 2 weeks with her with this problem. I said, Lord, please do something for my wife. And he spoke to me just as clear as a bell. He said, son, you are begging, and I don't answer prayers of begging. I answer prayers of faith. I said, okay, Lord, Mark 11:24 says, whatever I desire when I pray, believe I've received it, and it's mine. So I said, Father, in Jesus' name, according to Mark 11:24, my wife is healed in Jesus' name. I said, thank you, Lord. And so I just said, thank you, Lord. And a few minutes, Cheryl come back in the bathroom, and she scooted in front of me as she went by me. I swatted her on the cheek of her backside, and I said, woman, you're healed, I guarantee it, in the name of Jesus. And she never had another problem with her bowels from there to Norway and back. They worked perfect. Now see, God only honors faith in this kingdom, doesn't he? See, I'm begging and pleading, and he ain't answering my prayer, Weston. I'm not getting nothing. I've got to do it just like you did it, in total faith. Lord, I'm turning my body over to you. I'm trusting you completely, 100%. And Lord, just like Job, Lord, if you slay me, I'll still serve you. That's what it says. And so, just like Gracie and Mike, they trusted the Lord, and he healed Mike. He ain't had a back problem since. Weston, he asked the Lord to heal him, and he trusted. Once he prayed, he did not trust doctors or medicine after that. He took no medicine. Mike took no medicine. They trusted the Lord. And if you want to see God do wonderful things, that's what you've got to learn to do. And I'll tell you how I had he was trying to bring me to a new level of faith. And whenever I prayed the prayer for Dr. Young out in Salt Lake City on the phone, when the man had fell out of a tree 35 foot up in the air on Tuesday and crushed his whole lower back. And they care flighted him out of the mountains, flew him to the hospital. And they done a CT scan on him, and his whole lower back is all pulverized. And the doctor said, there's nothing. He is a doctor. But the doctors had done all the diagnosis said, you cannot be fixed. Your back is beyond repair. He had fell 35 feet and crushed his back. The peak of this church is only 22 feet. So he flew a lot further than that, all the way down and hit on the ground, right on his tailbone, and just crushed his back. Well, Eldon, he knew him, and he gave him some DVDs to listen to, and he's listening to them, and from Wednesday, when he gets out of the hospital, they send him home. Just he's going to be at home. There's nothing he can do. Just be lay there in pain till you die. So he's listening to some of my CDs and DVDs, and he hears a man talk about the power of God by faith. And so he listens until Sunday. Sunday, he calls Eldon and says, Eldon, do you know this guy, Thurman Scrivener? He said, I do. He's a personal friend of mine. He said, well, you reckon I could get him to fly out here and pray for me tomorrow? And he said, well, I'm sure he will. I'll call him and see. So Eldon called me and actually had Cheryl's number. He called Cheryl and said, it was after church on Sunday night, and we were sitting in a little Waffle House, I think having a waffle or something. And he called and said, I would like for Thurman to come out and pray for me. And so Cheryl asked me, I said, yeah, we don't have anything to do tomorrow. Monday, we can do that. So I said, tell him to buy us an airplane ticket, you know, to Salt Lake City, and we'll fly out there. And so he said he would make the reservations. And I said, well, tell him, I said, Cheryl, tell Eldon to tell Dr. Young before he, after he gets all the reservations done and everything, to call me on my cell phone. I want to talk to him personally tonight. And so that was about 8 o'clock. So we left the Waffle House and went to the post office and everything, and then finally about 10 o'clock, we're on the way home, and my phone rang, and it was a number I didn't recognize, and so I answered it. It was Dr. Young, and he said, Thurman, we have made the reservations for y'all tomorrow to come out on certain flight and everything, and I'll have somebody pick you up to come over and pray for me. I said, sir, I said, are you in pain? He said, I'm in excruciating pain. He said, my back is killing me. I said, sir, Jesus made me an awesome promise in Mark 11:23. Mark 11:23. You know, look at that awesome verse. When God puts Mark 11:23 in your heart and it becomes a revelation to you when you're a child of the King and you can walk in faith, look what he says that you can do in Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now, if you can believe that, if you can get a hold of that, and you're a child of God walking in the kingdom of God, as a child of the kingdom, walking in faith, he literally has given you no limitations to what you can do in his name. Isn't that awesome? That's an awesome promise. But that's not just for Thurman Scrivener. That promise is for everybody in this room. Amen. If you will obey him and walk where he tells you to walk. But now, he's with you 24/7. He even reads your heart pattern. He knows what you're thinking. You may not say something. Your husband may say something to you you don't like. And you're sick. And you say, well, I know I got to be careful what I say, but I really wished I could get him. Do you know there's people think like that? They didn't open their mouth. They didn't say a word. But that's what they thought. You know, that's just as bad as opening your mouth and saying, I'm going to get you. You know, you have to get over that. You know that? God, that's one thing about God. He is beyond anything I can comprehend. He can read. Betty, do you believe he can read your heart? You know he can, don't you? He knows exactly what you're thinking every minute, doesn't he, Bill? Yeah, sure, he knows everything. And so you need to learn to think good things. You need to learn to think like the King. Think like he says. Walk in love with everybody all the time. Because if you walk in love, he says that's where your faith works. So when you got this awesome promise, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto the mountain. Now then, if he says I can literally speak to a mountain and the mountain will move, then surely I can have faith to speak a back into existence, right? I mean, just a little bitty thing like a couple of vertebrae or three or four of them, whatever they were in his back. So I said, Dr. Young, I'm going to speak a command of Mark 11:23. I said, I'm going to command in the name of Jesus that you get a supernatural healing from my King, and his name is Jesus Christ. I said, now guarantee he'll do it for you. I said, now we'll see you tomorrow. He said, okay. And I thanked the Lord for it, and I hung up the phone. And we're driving along there about a mile, and Cheryl says, honey, what do you think about him? I said, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. Now, do you hear any faith in that? Now, see, when she said, he'll be healed, I said, there's no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. I didn't say, I hope the Lord was listening. No. I know he was listening. I know he knows my heart. And so by making that statement from Mark 11:23 and then making the command, like he says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I can believe it with my heart, I can have it. Is that what he said? Amen. So I hung up the phone and we drive along there about a mile. Cheryl asked me, well, what do you think? I said, no problem. He'll be healed before we get there. We get home a few minutes later. And I'm unloading the car, and my phone rings, and it was Dr. Young. He said, Thurman, this is awesome. He said, when you prayed, I was healed. He said, my pain went away in my back. I scooted over to the side of the bed. And you know what it's like for that pain to go away, don't you, Michael? That pain all went away in my back. I scooted over to the edge of the bed. I stood up. I could stand up. There was no pain in my back. He said, I walked around the room for a few minutes, and there was no pain. He said, I walked over and picked up my 5-year-old son. I put him on my shoulder. I could walk around. He said, I ran up the stairs and back down. He said, Thurman, I am completely healed. I have a brand new back already. Now, what can we do in faith? I mean, the Lord, what did he say?
He says there, if I can say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in my heart. Now, how in the world can I ever get that kind of faith in my heart? You notice he didn't say in my head. That's where the devil works. He's going to get you. You know, you put all this stuff in through your mind, and then as it goes into your mind, it's got to work through all these filters and get down through that little bitty 18-inch trip to your heart. You see what I mean? And when the word becomes from here to here, when it gets into your heart, according to that verse, what can you do when you get that in your heart? Everything. That's exactly right, Kennard. There ain't nothing you and I can't do if we do it by faith. But we have to believe. Now then, it would be much easier if every time I started to pray for one of you or do something, if the king would tap me on the shoulder and say, son, I'm with you. I'm going to do whatever you say. Oh, that wouldn't that be wonderful? But he don't do that, does he?
No.
I have to do what I do in faith from his word. It is written. And that's where people have not understood. I mean, see, I'm going to show you a scripture that what he says he will do if we don't believe him 100%. Now, what we do, we say we believe God 100%, but we really don't. We really don't. And the way we can tell is if I tell you the promises of God and what they all are, and then you say, well, I've got an appointment with the doctor next Thursday, and I'm going to go to the doctor, and if he says I'm better, I'll know this worked. And if he doesn't, well, then I'll know it didn't work. Well, I can guarantee you it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. You know, but that's where most Christians live. I mean, I talk to people all the time about this kind of faith, and the majority of the Christians that I deal with, now I don't deal with the world. I mean, the world can't even grasp what I teach. That's way out for the world. It's everything I talk about is foolishness to the world. And what I teach to a lot of Christians is foolishness. They just can't go there. But to those that go there, oh, my goodness gracious, you know, they get healed from any, and ain't nothing, as you know, ain't nothing hard for God, is there, Weston? Now, if he can heal stage 4 lymphoma, hey, everything else is a piece of cake, isn't it? Piece of cake. All we got to do is believe. But we have to realize that God can do anything we can believe him for. And that's where we miss it. But I'm going to show you what he says in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. James 1, 6 and 7. But when you ask the Lord, you must ask in faith. How much wavering?
None.
Now, wait a minute. Surely, Michael, he wouldn't expect you and Gracie to believe 100%. But what did he say? No wavering. So you think he really means that? You don't think he loves you two more than he does somebody else, and he gives you a little leeway there, huh? That don't work, does it? In other words, isn't it good to know that God is not a respecter of persons? He loves each one of us exactly the same. And if, when we learn that he loves us exactly the same, that he has no deviations, but I mean, Cheryl, of course, my wife, she's always telling me, she's, honey, I know God's going to answer my prayer because I'm his favorite daughter. I said, I got news for you. You're one of his daughters, and you're probably a favorite daughter, but all of his daughters are his favorite daughters. So I said, you don't have an input into that. But wouldn't it be nice to know you were his favorite daughter? That would be awesome to think that would God. But see, he does love you that much. He does love you that much. And he will do anything you ask him to do as long as you ask in faith, as long as you're not walking in any kind of known sin. If you're putting him first, let him ask in faith. In other words, the faith that we need, where do we get this faith? It is the trust in the word of God. That's what it is. It's trust in his promises. If God made the promises, you have to trust what he said with all of your heart and no doubt in your heart. Now then, I mean, I just stand in awe as I've learned these principles. And of course, I would never tell these kind of things if I didn't have somebody to back me up. But Dave goes with me real regular when we go flying. He has been in the cockpit with me several times. In fact, I remember one night we went over and preached every night for 3 nights in a row over Shreveport during the day. We preached in the day till way up into the evening. And of course, and when we come back, it would usually be midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning when we got back here. So we're flying across the Metroplex from Texarkana. And one of those nights, we came in here, and it was 1 o'clock in the morning, so there's not a whole lot of traffic at 1 o'clock in the morning in airplanes. You know, just a few, very few. So the controller way out on the other side of Lake Louisville, he said, we'll go ahead and cancel your flight plan. And he said, there's nobody between you and the airport. Northwest said, you're cleared to land over there. No problem. Well, what the controller didn't know, that there was a fog bank over here. And Dave, we have a computer on board that tells us all this. And Dave, look, he said, Pastor, do you know that Denton is closed? He said, Denton's got less than 200-foot ceilings and all less than a quarter of a mile visibility. I mean, that's closed. You can't make an approach with it right there. They won't even let you shoot an approach. And he said, and about that time, I got several of the lights on the airplane, and all of a sudden, the white flashes, we flew into a dense fog bank. And it was just dense, I mean, just white flashing everywhere. He said, Thurman, we can't see nothing. You can't see nothing no more, the ground or nothing. Of course, I'm flying along there 200 miles an hour and can't see nothing. And so, praise God, you know, you're in an airplane. You know there's nobody between you and the airport because the controller's already told you that. Now, what did Jesus say I could ask for as a son of God in Mark 11:23? That's right. We don't believe that. That's exactly right. So I said, Dave sitting right there beside me watching all this, I said, Father, according to my GPS, I only got a couple of miles left to go until I need to turn left to turn into Northwest, and I'm going to land on runway 17. It has no approaches, and if it did, I couldn't make it in this kind of weather. Because even if I had an ILS there, which is only at the big airports like Alliance, I still could not have shot an approach with a 200-foot minimum and a quarter-mile visibility. They won't let me shoot an approach at that because I got to go somewhere where the weather's better. I mean, do you know when you're flying 120 miles an hour and you're approaching the end of a runway and you can't see nothing till you get below 200 foot? That's awful close to the ground. That's too close. And so I said, Lord, you said in Mark 11:23, I could have whatever I say. So I said, in the name of Jesus, all the fog, I'm going to fly right out into the clear blue. I want to turn left, right straight to Northwest, and there will be no fog between here and the end of the runway. And Lord, I thank you for giving me this power in Jesus' name. And I hardly cleared my mouth, and we flew right out into cloud, just as clear as this room. I mean, just clear as this room. And we looked to the left. Dave looked to the left. He said, Pastor, there's Northwest. I see the runway lights. Look right there. He said, it's clear as a bell here. And so I said, thank you, Lord. And so I just turned the airplane right straight. We get right to Northwest on approach. It's as clear as it is in this room. And we get over the fence at the end, 120 miles an hour landing speed, right over the fence, right at the end. And just as I start to flare, the fog, it can't see nothing. So by faith, I just go ahead and let it down that other 20 feet. I know the runway's under there. And I let it down at mains touch, and we roll out. And, of course, I've got the lights on. I'm trying to see the concrete asphalt to keep it on the asphalt. And we get down at the end. We stop. We turn real gently and taxi back up and get to the hangar. We push it in the hangar. We get in the car. And as we leave, I almost have to get out. Cheryl's driving the car. I almost have to get out to find the exit from the airport to get on the road to come home. It was that thick. You couldn't see nothing. But just say, Mark 11:23 says, whatever I say with my mouth, if I can believe it with my heart, I can have it as a child of the King in his kingdom. Is that what he said? So by faith, now here's what some people would do. They said, I heard Thurman say that, so I'm going to try it to see if it works for me. I can guarantee you it won't work for you. Well, if you say, I'm going to try it, that's not faith. Now, if you have the word hidden in your heart, like I've hidden the word in my heart, God's going to do it for you just like he did for me. He is no respecter of persons. Is that right? Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Just think, as children of the King, the power that God has given us in his word. I mean, we're supposed to rule. We're supposed to have dominion and authority over the whole earth as his children. When we can speak things into existence, if we repent of sin and stand on the Word of God and claim the words of God, it will cause stage 4 cancer to disappear in your body, just like it did Weston's. And I guarantee he won't ever have cancer again. Amen. Because he's going to walk in love. He's learned, his wife's learned, she's going to walk in love too. And as both of them walk in love, I guarantee you they won't ever have a problem with that again. So when you walk in faith, you believe and trust the principles of the kingdom of God 100%. And I will tell you one more little example of this, and then we'll quit and have dinner. Yeah, we're going to have communion first. But here, a few years ago, after I prayed for Dr. Young, And we went out there, and he was already healed when we got there. And so we spent several days. He wanted us to stay several days and just go with him. He took us out to dinner, and he took us. I mean, he has hundreds of employees working for him. He has a big business out there. He's got clinics all over the country and everything else. But nobody but Jesus could heal him. And so he wanted us to spend time with him, which we did. And while we were out there, when I really got to check in with him, so strange, he was not a Christian. He was a Mormon. He was not even a Christian. He was a Mormon. And so I talked to him about the kingdom of God and everything, and I really caught a lot of flack from some of the people he brought over there because they were all Mormons. And, of course, you know, they disagreed with me on some of the things I said, but I said, what I'm telling you is the truth. And, the Mormons, they believe some things that's a little far out. First of all, they believe that, first of all, God was a man first. And then that man became good enough to become God the Father. Now, I don't have enough faith to believe that. There is no way on this earth I could ever believe that our Heavenly Father was ever a man. He has never been a man. He's always been a spirit. He's always been God the Father. And he has always been where he is, and he's never changed. Now, he did become a man through his Son. Jesus Christ did come to this earth as a man. And the reason Jesus Christ came to this earth as a man, he came to this earth to show you and me what a man can do if we walk in total faith. And everything he did is what we're supposed to be able to do. And most of us never get it. I read all those stories in the Bible thinking, boy, it would be nice if I could do that. But it's impossible. I'm just a man. And then what I got a hold, he was just a man. He laid down his deity and he came here and showed me what I could do if I would walk in faith and realize who I was as a child of God. And so when I began to get a hold of that, that's when I started speaking these things and seeing these awesome things happen. Well, while we were out there, Dr. Young, he's got a lot of oils and stuff himself, and so he wanted to, my wife especially thinks I'm a little hard hearing sometimes, but I don't think I am, but that's beside the point. But anyway, Dr. Young wanted to anoint me with oil over my ears. And so I didn't really want to let him do that, but just out of courtesy, I thought it won't hurt anything. So I let this unbeliever, this Mormon, lay hands on me and anoint my ears with oil and pray a prayer of faith for me. Well, when I got back, and we were only out there 3 or 4 days, and when I got back the first night, Sunday night after we got back, and I taught my lesson in church, and I come home and sat down at my computer, my left leg was like it was on fire. And so I didn't understand, so I kind of pulled my britches leg up and pulled my boot off, and I looked at my leg, and I have never seen a leg look so bad in my life as my leg looked. It was terrible. So I just prayed, rebuked the devil, and said, it's done, and put my boot back on and went back to work. Well, I worked till about 2 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning, and I'm getting ready to go to bed, and I go in there, and I take my clothes off, and Cheryl, what is wrong with your leg? I said, well, I guess I'm having a little attack from the enemy. You know, I said, I don't know what I've done, but obviously something that didn't please the Lord because, I've got this terrible attack, and the Word of God says nothing can come upon me unless I displease Him. So I said, I'm asking Him what I've done wrong, and I don't know what it is. But Cheryl, she was all excited. She said, well, I'm going to call Ty and Eldon, have them come over and pray for you. I said, well, okay, do it in the morning. So waited till the next morning. So she called and told Ty, I said, pray for Thurman. He said, what's wrong with him? He said, well, he's got all this red blood problems with his leg. Ty said, I'm coming over. Now, he's a doctor, see? And so he said, I'm coming over. And I said, no, Ty, don't you come. Just pray for me. No, I'm coming. Well, Eldon said the same thing. No, Thurman, I ain't going to just pray. I'm coming. And so they all come. And on the way over, Ty's praying, God, what did Thurman do? What did he do that caused you to strike him with this problem? It's great when you got friends that know the Word like this. You know, he's praying. And the Lord spoke to Ty and told him, says, when you get over there, ask Thurman if you can anoint him with oil. That I want you to tell him you stopped by a Buddhist temple and bought a bottle of anointing oil, and you want to anoint him with that oil, see if he'll let you do it. Ty didn't understand what that meant, but he got here, and he looked at my leg. First of all, when he looked at my leg, he said, oh, my gosh. He said, now, Ty's a doctor. He said, you got blood clots in your leg, and you need to be in a hospital having surgery right now. But he said, you ain't going, are you? I said, no, I ain't going. That's absolutely right. I am not going. I am a man of faith, and I am definitely not going to let nobody cut on my leg. I said, my leg is healed by the name of Jesus. I just don't know what I've done that caused this. He said, well, the Lord spoke to me on the way over here and told me, said, I told me to stop by a Buddhist temple and buy some anointing oil and ask you if I could anoint you with oil and pray over you when I got here. I said, absolutely not. I said, you ain't going to take no anointing oil you bought in some Buddhist temple and anoint me with it. There ain't no way. I'll never let that be done. And the Lord told Ty, I said, that's what he done. He let an unbeliever pray over him. And he said, oh, God, Thurman, this is what you've done. You've let an unbeliever pray over you and anoint you with oil. I said, oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. And so I said, I promise I won't never let that happen again. And so, of course, Ty, being a doctor, he said, well, he said, go in there and get back in the bed and elevate your foot 6 inches and lay there for about 3 or 4 days. I said, but Ty, there ain't no faith to that. He said, Thurman, I'm a doctor. Believe me. Now, if you're a doctor, I have a problem. I have a problem with doctors and a faith man in the same house because they think different. They really do. Doctors, you know, they think one way. They know. Thurman, if one of those blood clots turns loose in your leg, it could go to your heart or to your brain. It can kill you. I said, well, yeah, I know that, Ty, but I know God's in control, so I know it ain't going to happen unless it's his plan. So I said, no, that ain't going to, no, I'm not going to, we're not going to do it. No surgery, no nothing. And but at least, Thurman, please get in there. Of course, now, I think he's over telling Cheryl, you don't understand the seriousness of this. Get that boy in bed. Let him put his foot and elevate. Lord, and so they were all against me. Eldon, everybody. And so I finally said, okay. I go in there and I lay down in the bed and I put my foot up, elevated. He said, now you stay right here for at least 3 or 4 days. Don't you dare get up and walk around because you might die. I don't hear no faith in none of that. Do y'all? But that's my best friends. And my best friends of faith. So, I mean, I'm just telling you that, you know, when you got somebody you love, and those guys love me. They really do love me. They was looking for my best benefits, but we got too much world in us. Amen. That's the problem. We got too much of the world in us, and we cannot walk in faith. So anyway, I lay there for a few days, and of course it all got okay, and my leg cleared up. And so after 3 or 4 days, whatever, so I got up and I went to work and all that stuff, and everything worked okay. And then about six months later, I had another little bout of this thing. And then first thing you know, I'm having a little bout, and it gets down to where I'm having it every month. About every month, my leg will swell up. It'll turn blood red. And, of course, when Cheryl sees it, you know, get in the bed. You got to put your feet up there. I'm going to anoint you with oil. I'm going to pray for you. Now, why does she do that for me? She loves me. That's exactly right. She don't want to lose me. So finally one day, I started to go to bed one night, and I looked down, and she said, oh, my gosh, look at your leg. I said, yeah, I see it. And so she said, well, get in that bed. I said, no. I've been in that bed my last time for this leg. I said, now, by faith, I have complete power over that. I said, now, I'm not going to go by what I see. I'm going to go by it is written. She said, well, at least let me anoint you with oil. I said, no. I am not going to even let you anoint me with oil. I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for myself, and that's all I need. I'm not going to yield to nothing or nobody. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm repented of every sin. I've repented of letting him pray for me, anointing me with that oil. I've done that, and I've done it in faith, so that's done. I'm going to bed tonight, and I'm going to get a good night's rest, and in the morning I'm going to wake up. I'm going to go to work, and I said, tomorrow afternoon when I come home, there ain't going to be nothing wrong with my leg. I guarantee it in the name of Jesus. So the next morning I wake up, she said, oh, look at your leg, honey, please stay in bed. I said, no, absolutely not. I said, I'm going to get dressed, go to work. Oh, so she said, let me pray for you. Nope, no, get back in that bed, woman, get you a night's sleep. You know, don't worry about it, I'm done. I go to work. I work, do everything I want to do. I come back that afternoon, as soon as I get in, she's, oh, let me see your leg. I said, it's okay, I guarantee it. She said, have you looked at it today? I said, absolutely not, that would have been unbelief. No, I didn't look at my leg. I know it's okay. I'm walking by faith. I'm believing the King. And so I go in, she said, you going to take a shower? I said, yes. She said, well, I will at least get to see your leg when you take your shower. I said, okay. So I pull my clothes off, and she looks, and she said, there's not a mark on it. And there ain't never been a mark on it since. I won my battle. Cheryl said, it's been over a year since that last time. I ain't had a single mark. Now, what happens when we do it by faith? See, God says in His Word, consider it all joy when you go into all these different trials and tests. But you know, we don't do that. We grumble and complain about our trials and tests, do we not? But that's not what we're supposed to do. You know, when something like that happens, I say, Lord, thank you. It's hard to say, thank you, Lord, that I had cancer. But it brought you to a place of faith you ain't never walked in before, Weston. If without that cancer, you could have never been where you are in faith today. Absolutely. He knows that. But when we go through these trials and tests and we win our battles, it brings us to a new level of faith. Does it not? Well, Jesus didn't cut us short when He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So when I doubt, what am I going to get? Not from God. He ain't going to give it to me. So now you wonder why so many people die in the church. They don't repent of their sins, and they don't ask in faith, believing. Somebody says, how cruel you are to say, if I don't get healed, I don't have enough faith. You know where I learned that? That's exactly right, ma'am. That's where I got. Jesus is the one that made that statement. If Jesus made that statement, I'm on safe ground, right, young lady? If Jesus, Lord, why could we not heal that boy? He said, because you have so little faith. And that's something. Now, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to the mountain, remove from here to there, and that mountain would obey you. And he said, nothing would be impossible with you. Isn't that something? So where's the problem? We don't have enough of the Word in us. That's what the issue is. We do not have enough of God's Word hidden in our heart. We spend too much time watching television, not enough time in the Word of God. Wow. Well, Father, we praise you and thank you for the beautiful day. We thank you for the Word of God that you've given to us, that we have it. We thank you for revealing these wonderful things to us and then confirming. We thank you for all these people that you've been healed, that you've healed and set free, their children and everything else. We are so grateful to the principles of the kingdom and how you're revealing them to us so we can walk in them. And Lord, I thank you that you're a mighty God, the King of Kings, and you're preparing us for the end days, which is right now. We're coming up on the final times before your return to this earth and the catching away of the church. I am so grateful that I'm one of those that's going to be alive and well when you do all this, and I'm going to get to see it. And then, Lord, I'm going to be one of those that's going to reign and rule with you in eternity for 1,000 years, and then we'll go into eternity after that, and there'll be no end to our reign and rule with you forever as children and sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, Lord, thank you. As we take communion today, we're going to pray over that in a minute, but, Lord, we're going to take communion, and then after we take communion, we're going to have dinner. And, Lord, I'm going to pray over that meal right now, that the food and the drink and everything that we will partake in there, that you will bless it all to our physical bodies, and we'll take our bodies with the strength you give us. We'll use them for your glory, and we give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.